Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Leave us a 5-star review for our Android users. We're working on getting the podcast up on Google Play. That'll be available soon. Email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at @LockedOnBulls. Check out any of the other fine podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, earlier today, Team USA practiced at the United Center, and we were there.
Tom Thibodeau back in Chicago. It's news. It's your hard Bulls news of the day.
The return.
Former coach Tom Thibodeau, who after being fired in May 2015, lived in Chicago for an entire year still before the Timberwolves hired him. Tibbs did talk to the media today for a good 10-12 minutes.
Yeah.
And he did mention he visited 13 teams in his year-long sabbatical, learned a lot from those NBA teams. He's learned a lot from Coach K. This is a roundabout way of me saying Tibbs was really politically correct today. He enjoyed being back in Chicago. He loves Chicago basketball fans. He's looking forward to returning to the United Center court to coach Friday night's exhibition game against Venezuela. Of course, Tibbs is an assistant under Coach K. Nothing breaking from Tibbs, per se, on the front of USA Basketball and commenting on the Bulls, which we were all hoping for, I think, of course, someday.
Right. Well, I mean, I think politically correct is a good way of putting it. You knew he wasn't going to just go out and rip the Bulls, because that's just not, even though obviously there's still a lot of bad blood there, but you know, that's just not what he's going to do. When he did talk about the Bulls, he was very complimentary. He talked about how grateful he is to Jerry Reinsdorf, the Bulls owner, for giving him his first NBA head coaching job in 2010. He talked about how great the fans are, how much he loves the players on the team, how much, you know, they've all battled through adversity. He said that he's happy for Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah and the fresh start that they both are going to get in New York.
Couple points to that. He once again, as you mentioned, thanked Jerry Reinsdorf. Mentioned nothing of Bulls management. The hate still runs deep. We did not see Gar Foreman or John Paxson at the United Center today. Not really any Bulls officials there at all, besides Jimmy Butler was around practicing with Team USA. But Tibbs was asked, and I find this funny, and I realize he's coaching Jimmy right now for a good month and a half with Team USA. And I'll be honest, I'm as guilty as anyone of this. I think you probably have a little role in this. It's all the reporters and media in Chicago. There are times where we treat Tibbs like he's still Jimmy's like go-to coach at times, like when we get a chance to ask him questions. And we kind of did today because we're like, you know, how's Jimmy going to fit in as one of the three alphas? How's he going to fit in with Dwayne Wade and Rondo? And these are questions. It's not like, oh, you catch up with Jimmy a little bit. Is it fun to coach your old guy, our old player, and see him turn into a star? No, it's like kind of nitty-gritty basketball stuff sometimes. It's just funny, the approach, kind of.
Well, there are two things to that, Cody. One of them is that you ask Tom Thibodeau about nitty-gritty basketball stuff because that's Tom's entire
life. Yeah, that's
true. The other thing is that, you know, he actually does have a little bit of a unique perspective on the three alphas because obviously he coached Jimmy for 4 years in Chicago, but he was also an assistant coach in Boston when they won the championship in 2008, and until 2010 he was an assistant under Doc Rivers, so he has a long history with Rondo too, so he might actually be able to give an insight into, you know, how those two guys are going to fit together. It's not just, oh, you used to be the coach of this team, how is this team doing now? He actually has a history with these players, and so, like, I think that's definitely part of it. And, you know, I think the Celtics played against the Heat a few times in the playoffs.
Yeah, so he's coached
against Wade in the past, both in Chicago and in Boston when he was an assistant before that. So I mean, he does have, and he was pretty diplomatic. He didn't really obviously get into a lot of like specifics about how they're going to fit together. He just said, you know, great players always figured out, and he thinks it's going to be good for Jimmy.
Yeah, and I thought maybe the biggest takeaway was Tibbs admitting, you know, hey, this will be a change with the equation for Jimmy Butler, obviously. And he said, this is good for Jimmy. And he said, because it'll be all about how quickly you can adapt, Thibodeau said. And Jimmy's a very bright guy, and I think having Dwayne will be a big plus for them along with Rajon. Jimmy can fit into any situation. He's got the ability to make other people better. So I think the takeaway from Tibbs, I mean, everyone knows Jimmy Butler is going to have to change as a basketball player somewhat. And the interesting part to me, I guess, is Jimmy said, I think you were there in Las Vegas when he said, I'm going to be the player who I am. Everyone on the outside knows you can still be you, but you still have to change. And I think we have to reconcile that at some point. And I don't mean we right now, but I mean that's what the season will bring and show us. Because even when someone as right as Tom Thibodeau is saying that, like, it's true. Jimmy's going to have to do that at some point. How he does that, I don't know exactly. Jimmy did acknowledge today, and I wrote about it at 670score.com, that he has to be have top of mind is efficiency for him. He's got to be efficient with his possessions and getting work done on the floor when he has the ball in the right manner. And because he's not going to get the ball on command at all times, but he can get out there and be more efficient as a basketball player. And that's the thing in Miami with Wade Bosch and LeBron James. Eric Spoelstra got the Heat to buy into efficiency over statistical totals. Can the Bulls do something like that is the question.
Right, but I mean, I think the thing to keep in mind about that is that when you have LeBron James, who's the most unselfish superstar of his generation,
true, very true.
One of the most talented basketball players of all time, who's also a guy who doesn't ever really go after his own stats and always looks to make the right play, and in the past has been criticized for, in fact, passing too much and not taking enough shots in the past. Like, it's a lot easier to get guys to buy in than, you know, somebody like Jimmy Butler, who, like, he's just getting used to it being his team, and he was isolating a whole lot last year. Now, speaking of Jimmy, he also spoke to reporters today at USA practice.
Yeah, Jimmy had a lot to say, and he downplayed the concern over outside shooting for the Bulls. He said Dwayne Wade has put the ball in the basket for a numerous amount of years. He's a great player because of the way he scores the ball, obviously. I don't think you can call him a non-shooter because he can definitely shoot the ball.
He came from mid-range, just not from three.
Jimmy went on to say, Rondo, call him what you want, but he's effective at what he does, which I thought was pretty funny. Like, okay, I don't know what to call him, I guess, but Jimmy's saying that. I think that's Jimmy's way of saying, yeah, I know Rondo can't shoot three-pointers, but you know what? He can help people score and he can finish. So I think that's a nice way of saying that, but it kind of made me laugh. I don't know.
It's one of those things that just sounds really passive-aggressive just because some of the stuff that Jimmy has said in the past that can be seen as either a veiled shot at somebody or just like a passive-aggressive comment. That was only my second favorite part of Jimmy's availability. My favorite, Cody,
What's that?
Was when he said that he does not, and this is an all-time upset for athletes, he does not have a chip on his shoulder.
Jimmy Butler, credit to Jimmy Butler for being, I think, the first athlete I've ever heard say they don't have a chip on their shoulder. Like, you can get a kid from a basketball family. He can have a dad that played in the NBA, can be rich, have
gone to the
best schools.
Steph Curry talks about having a chip on his shoulder.
Steph Curry talks about having a chip on his shoulder. Like, he made it from some hard roots or something.
Even though his dad was an NBA player and he was a number 7 lottery.
Jimmy Butler said he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder anymore because he feels he's proved himself and he now approaches the game different. And he was quick to point out, I still work just as hard. I just have a different approach. And I thought that was cool. Some of the most honest quotes we'll get from an athlete sometimes. And it's kind of a throwaway thing. It doesn't mean a whole lot. But I was just appreciative of Jimmy admitting he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder.
Not just going with the narrative saying, yeah, you know, I'm still mad about being the number 30 overall pick and not playing at all my rookie year. Like, it seems like now he is what he is in the league. And he's an all-star. He's a top 20 player in the league. And he knows that. And he doesn't have to set out to just prove to people that he belongs in the league anymore because he's already done that. I think that's actually a very interesting comment from him.
Yeah, a couple other Bulls notes, or I should say Jimmy Butler notes. He says he has texted Joakim Noah in the week since Joe left the Bulls. He's talked to Derrick Rose a little bit, so he's caught up with those guys.
Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler there was never any
personal
animosity towards them off the court between the two of them.
So he mentioned that. Those guys are kind of in mind. And he also said, so Jimmy Butler, here's a fun one. He's astonished that teammate Doug McDermott believes Doug can beat Jimmy in a game of one-on-one. And Jimmy wants this to happen at some point. I'm not sure how it hasn't happened already, considering Doug was playing on the USA Select team in Vegas. But Jimmy and Doug got a game of one-on-one that they're going to need to solve and get an answer to who's better at this
How much would you pay to watch that on pay-per-view?
Uh, I don't know, a dollar.
what's gonna be more interesting, the Jimmy Butler Doug McDermott grudge match one on one, or any Bulls player challenging Rondo to Connect Four?
Oh, I see. I would pay better money to watch Connect Four.
I want to watch some Connect Four.
I think that absolutely would take the Connect Four. I mean, video has surfaced on the internet of Jimmy, I believe, playing Henry Ellenson, a first-round draft pick out of Marquette, one-on-one earlier this summer.
I thought you were going to say a like Connect that. Four.
No.
Is
no
Jimmy
Connect,
like secretly a Connect
no
Four
Connect
player
Four
too?
Video. So like, I've seen some highlights of Jimmy playing a little bit of one-on-one or seeing him go lightly after practice, I think, sometimes. But I think Jimmy would beat Doug in one-on-one unless Doug just caught fire from three-point range. That would be his go-to because he is a better outside shooter than Jimmy. But Jimmy, he continues to express just astonishment that Doug thinks he could beat him in one-on-one. And another Jimmy Butler comment that we did need to pass along
today.
This has
to be addressed.
He was asked about the health concerns going to Rio, and Zika in particular,
right,
obviously. And Jimmy Butler was asked about it, and he said, "I'm not scared of anything. I'm from Tomball," and that's Tomball, Texas, where he grew up outside of Houston. And Jimmy said that. And he is very, very quick to reference Tomball, Texas all the time. Ever since I've come here 2.5, 3 years ago and started covering the Bulls, he's referenced it before he was a star, and now when he's a star too. Even though he hangs out in Los Angeles with Mark Wahlberg, he cites home a lot, and home means a lot to him, and I understand that. But he did kind of make Tomball sound like there's something worse than Zika there or something. So I'm like, it just made me laugh. I'm like, what are you doing there, Jimmy?
Right. I mean, you hear about there are certain guys on the USA team. Like, you hear about DeMarcus Cousins being from Alabama and talking about how there are mosquitoes there that are more scary than anything that he's going to see in Brazil. And you kind of understand that. The Tomball thing, I mean, that's just Jimmy's brand at this point. He's a humble kid from Tomball, Texas. He really likes to say that. He's gotten shirts. Like, I've seen him and his boys around Bulls games wearing, like, Jordan brand shirts that say just a kid from Tomball or something like that. Like, that's really part of his brand at this point. He's gone all in on that. Now, speaking of, you talked a little bit earlier about, Cody, the
what's that?
Jimmy catching up with Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah in L.A. Derrick and Joakim's new teammate, Carmelo Anthony,
was also
on the Olympic team, also at practice, had some things to say. You know, we know that he's tight with Dwayne Wade. They are together, one half of the Banana Boat squad, along with LeBron James and Chris Paul. And they talked, and he talked about how surprised he was. He said that he's talked at length with Wade about his decision to leave Miami and go to Chicago. And he said that, you know, even though, like, people understand it's a business and all this other stuff about how, you know, you can never bet on anything, he was shocked that Wade actually decided to leave Miami.
I wasn't in that media scrum like you were. So, like, what was Carmelo's tone? Was he kind of sad? Did he understand? Is he missing out on playing with D-Wade from a basketball perspective or just a friendship aspect of it? Kind of what exactly was the tone of that?
Well, it was just kind of matter of fact. And, you know, he gave a little bit of perspective about how, you know, 2 years ago he was deciding between Chicago and New York when he was a free agent. He ultimately decided to stay with the Knicks. But he was talking about just how hard of a decision that is and how that's not something. And you have to weigh a whole lot of stuff. You have to weigh money as well as basketball situation and your family. Ultimately, Melo decided to go back to New York because his family's happy there and he can make more money and, like, his kid is in school there and stuff like that. But he talked about how it was a difficult decision for him to make to go back to New York and not come to the Bulls, and how, you know, because of that, he understands how difficult of a decision it was for Dwayne Wade to leave the Heat, where he's been for 13 years. He's won multiple championships there. He's won a Finals MVP, and go to Chicago. But at the same time, it's home for Wade.
Certainly.
He's from here.
Yeah, and on a lighter note, Carmelo also basically confirmed a Locked On Bulls prediction. So you heard it here first, I don't know, maybe a week ago, but Carmelo basically confirmed it. He said, "I guarantee you they'll put a Bulls-Knicks game either on opening night or on Christmas Day," which is the exact same thing we did in guessing when they would put it. But just so you know, great minds think alike. Carmelo thinks like us. We think like him.
Carmelo, just FYI, if you ever want to come on Locked On Bulls, the invitation is open. I mean, I know you're listening to this. I know you're a big proponent of the Locked On Network, and you've left multiple of our podcast 5-star reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. But
Nick, if you're a Knicks fan listening to this, check out Locked On Knicks, hosted by my man Jared Dubin. Now, speaking of scheduling things, the NBA regular season schedule is not going to come out till probably mid-August, so we've got a couple more weeks before we can really dive into that, which is going to be great because there's nothing going on in the NBA in August. So we'll probably get a whole week's worth of content out of the Bulls schedule release. We'll like talk about what some of the matchups are. We'll go month by month, maybe. Just we'll wring some content out of it. But for now, the Bulls did announce
big schedule news.
Big schedule news. New schedule alert. The Bulls announced
preseason schedule
for this upcoming fall. Starting on October 3rd, they have 7 total preseason games, which, I mean, some teams have 6. The Bulls have 7. I think they need to get it down to 4 or 5 and extend.
I'd be good with 1 or 2.
Sure. Well, right. But and so the Bulls have 4 home preseason games against Milwaukee, Indiana, Cleveland, and Charlotte. They are also playing a game.
For the second consecutive year.
For the second consecutive year. They are playing against the Atlanta Hawks at the CenturyLink Center in Lincoln, Nebraska.
The Doug McDermott homecoming game. He went to college at Creighton the second straight year.
The McDermott Corver showdown for the locals.
Yep, absolutely. Two ties there. Last year when they went to Omaha, I'm 98% sure off the top of my head without confirming this, but didn't Doug hit a shot in the final seconds to win the game? When they were playing on, like, the University of Nebraska court or something, or they were playing on the Omaha court. I don't know where they were playing it. Maybe they played in Lincoln last year. We're really bad at fact-checking on that one, I guess. But I know this is the second straight year there's a game tied to Doug McDermott going back to Nebraska. And I feel like he had a big one last year, so we'll check that out.
One more note on the preseason schedule. I just want to say shout-out to the NBA's schedule makers for giving us a preseason back-to-back. The Bulls have a home game against the Cavaliers on Friday, October 14th, and then they're in Milwaukee on Saturday, October 15th. So just, you know, thanks for that, schedule makers. We really needed a back-to-back in the preseason.
I'm guessing, like, $100 says Dwayne Wade doesn't play in that back-to-back, exactly.
Well, here's the thing, though. Which one is he going to play? Does he want to play in Milwaukee because he played at Marquette?
LeBron's coming here.
And then LeBron's coming here. I almost feel like those were both games he'd want to play in. But at the same time, it's preseason back-to-back. It's not like...
Yeah, that's very true. There was one more saying on the Marquette note. I mean, Jimmy Butler was asked about whether he enjoyed having another Marquette player on the team, and Jimmy kind of gave a laugh and said something like, it's always good to have another Marquette guy. Just so you know, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, like, aren't boys because they went to Marquette. They don't have a deep, steeped prior relationship on or off the basketball court. They're cool with each other. They're going to be teammates. They're excited. But there's no Marquette history and ties there, really, between those. That's a little bit of a manufactured story. In that regard. But on another Jimmy regarding note, he was also asked about the trade rumors in the offseason. And Jimmy, he kind of evaded him. He kind of talked about it a little bit. But he said, quote, it's not their job, referring to the Bulls front office, to report anything to me. I'm a big boy. I don't need you to tell me, no, you're not going to be traded. I know it's a business. If it happens, it happens. But I'm here. End quote. So Jimmy, he's a Chicago Bull. He's fine with being a Chicago Bull. And I feel like it's becoming second nature for him to address trade rumor questions now, don't you?
Especially now that Tom Thibodeau, who reportedly tried to trade for him on draft night, is in the building.
Well, Joe Cali, Sun-Times Bulls beat writer Joe Cali, is just, he's terrific with his questions. Does a wonderful job.
He gets right to what he wants to ask.
Absolutely. But he jokes. I mean, he says these. He wants a serious answer. But sometimes if you don't get the answer you want, it's best to joke. Be a little more lighthearted. So Joe Cali asked Jimmy Butler, hey, did Tibbs tell you how close he was to acquiring you from the Bulls? And Jimmy's like, oh, get out of here, Joe. Like, you gotta stop with this, bro. Basically. So it was just funny. Jimmy said, he doesn't know how close the Bulls were to trading him. He said to ask the Bulls and ask Thibodeau if you have that question, neither of which will comment on it, of course. But Jimmy says he's a big boy, and I think that's the way you got to approach it with the trade rumors, because they're not going to stop in the coming years, probably, if the Bulls struggle. And that's what happens in the NBA. You win, everything's great. You lose, your name's going to start getting thrown in trade rumors. So Jimmy Butler handled everything today, I think, pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah, and you have to think he's probably going to be in the starting lineup tomorrow night at the United Center.
Yeah, I asked Coach K that exact question, and Coach K kind of smiled and said, "We'll see. I haven't got it set in stone yet. I got 24 more hours." But the Warriors guy started at Oracle
Arena.
He learned that from
Thibodeau when it comes to not ever divulging your starting lineup.
That's very, very true. So that exhibition game tomorrow night at the United Center, USA against Venezuela. I think I mentioned this in the last podcast. I'm most interested, I think, in some of the politics of it. Does Jimmy Butler get announced last? How many times do they put Tom Thibodeau on the Jumbotron at the United Center? If he doesn't appear...
I'm going to take the under on zero.
Under on zero. So you'd take... If the line was 0.5, you would take the under.
Absolutely.
I think he's going to appear a time or two on his own. I'm sure he'll get in Jumbotron shots of high fives back to the bench.
He might get some shots, but they're not going to actually show him.
No, come on, give me one singular shot of him smiling on the sidelines or in pregame introductions after they introduce Coach K. I want to see that. I want to see the ovation the United Center crowd gives him.
I want to be a fly on the wall when Gar Forman sees that ovation.
I don't anticipate Gar being around at the United
Center. I think he'll be in the building. He'll probably be up in the owner's box.
I don't anticipate seeing him.
No, I don't think so. That's why I said I need to be a fly.
We will see Gar tomorrow at the Dwayne Wade press conference, 2 p.m. at the Advocate Center, to introduce the most iconic Bull they've had since Michael Jordan. Making that up on the spot with a question mark?
Well, at least since they traded Cam Bearstout. But...
life just hasn't been the same.
It really hasn't.
Since that happened.
It really hasn't.
It will be a lot of fun, I think, just to see the spectacle and the event of the Dwayne Wade press conference and the season as it goes along, because he's been a hoot so far to follow on Snapchat to just kind of see how he's embraced Chicago and being a Bull. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say.
He was at the practice facility last night getting some shots up.
Yep, he was, and he dunked. So that's good. He dunked.
That is now one more dunk probably than Derrick Rose had in the last 3 years.
That's very true. We'll have to watch how that plays out. But as always, we appreciate your input. So find us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter or at Cody Westerlin, at Hyken. Email us advertising inquiries, basketball-related questions to lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Where do they find us, Sean?
iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. We're working on Google Play. That'll come soon. Check out some of the other Locked On podcasts. We're getting into some NFL stuff now. There's Locked On Saints, Locked On Buccaneers. I believe Locked On Raiders is there now. You can just keep adding to the network. Most of the NBA teams are accounted for. But no matter what team you're a fan of or what sport you're a fan of, there's going to be something for you on the Locked On Podcast Network. So check it out. Tell your friends who are fans of different teams to check different ones out. Leave us a 5-star review.
Absolutely. And we will be back a podcast Sunday night as well for your Monday morning commute. Until then, take care, and we'll catch you next time.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.